I'll go back home. I believe I'll go back home. Lord, and not to my good gal, mama. Lord, and I have done you wrong. All in the church bell is tolling, yeah, man, on one Sunday morning. Boy, I got no coke and more. All in the church bell is tolling, on one Sunday morning. All in some old dirty deacon, come and run that bell, stole my gal and gone. Dead coke and more. Lord, I woke up this morning with my pork and business in my hand. Yes, I woke up this morning with my pork and business in my hand. Lord, if you can't send me no woman, send me some sister man.
Don't you just love those old blues lyrics? Someone stole his girl, and he woke up with his pork grinding business in his hand. So he says, Lord, if you can't send me no woman, please send me some sissy man. This is Queer Voices on KPFT, and this segment is called Queer Music Heritage. I'm J.D. Doyle, and this is another one of my deep history shows. To give it a concise title, I'm calling it Queer Blues, and I'll be taking the music of gay, lesbian, and bisexual blues artists from the mid-1920s and stopping just past Stonewall in 1970. Now, that first artist, at least as far as I know, was not gay, but his song Sissy Man Blues was a good way to start off. His name was Kokomo Arnold, and his version of the song was recorded in January of 1935. As he wrote it, I'm giving him credit for likely having the first version of it, though I also have the song by several others, including Josh White. That song is a natural lead-in to one of the oldest songs I'm playing on this show. Ma Rainey was known as the Mother of the Blues, and in 1926 she recorded a song called Sissy Blues. We'll pick up the song at the second verse.
Just that day it took my man from all my life.
Now, if you had a little trouble understanding the lyrics on such an old recording, here are the main plot points. I dreamed last night I was far from harm, woke up and found my man in a sissy's arms. Some are young, some are old. My man says sissy's got good jelly roll. My man's got a sissy, his name is Miss Kate. He shook that thing like jelly on a plate. Now all the people ask me why I'm all alone. A sissy shook that thing and took my man from home. Ma Rainey and Sissy Blues from 1926. But she had another recording that is perhaps the most famous early queer blues song, and it's one of the very first that is lyrically gay, or in this case, lyrically lesbian. This song has been covered many times over the years, but of course I'm bringing you the original. From 1928, Ma Rainey and Prove It On Me Blues.
Everything seems to go wrong. I looked up, to my surprise, the gal I was with was gone. Where she went, I don't know. I mean to follow everywhere she goes. Folks said I'm crooked, I didn't know where she took it. I want the whole world to know. This day I do it. Ain't nobody caught me. You got to prove it on me. Went out last night with a crowd of my friends. Been muffin women, cause I don't like no men. It's true, I wear color and a tie. Make the wind blow.
I just love that line. Went out last night with a crowd of my friends. They must have been women, cause I don't like no men. That was an abbreviated version of the song. I wish I had time on this show to play the complete songs, but I want to introduce you to as many of these early artists as I can. And you may ask, how can I say artists from so many decades ago were gay, lesbian, or bi? Well, from researching old liner notes, books, and the internet, I found many references to back up the inclusion of these artists on my show. And this next one is certainly no exception. You do a Google search on the name Bessie Smith and the word bisexual, and you'll get over 28,000 hits. Noted jazz journalist and record producer Chris Albertson wrote perhaps the definitive biography of Bessie Smith. He interviewed her niece Ruby Smith in 1971 and got these comments about Bessie and the subject of Buffet Flats.
Bessie had a party up there at this woman's house. It was right near the jailhouse there in Detroit. And Bessie, that's where the faggots used to dress like women there, and it wasn't against the law, you know. That was an open, real open house for everybody there in that town. And that's where, I told you, they had that party that time, and I went to it. Bessie and all of us went to the party, and all of us got so drunk there at that house, that some house, it was a friend of Bessie, some woman had a house there, a buffet flat.
There's a lady in our neighborhood.
What was a buffet flat?
A buffet flat is nothing but faggots and bulldaggers and an open house. Everything goes on in that house.
But I mean, it was strictly with a gay place.
A very gay.
Yeah.
Uh huh.
And it was strictly for faggots and
everything. Flat. Everything that was in the life. Everybody
why,
that's in the life.
Yeah. Why would you call a buffet flat?
A buffet means everything.
Yeah.
Everything goes on.
Mm-hmm.
They had a faggot there. It was so great. And people used to come there just to watch him make love to another man.
Mm.
In them days, they only had them working in there to draw money, you see. They had to pay as they come in You know the buffets, right? They pay as they come in. You have to pay to go in. And they have shows, and every room is different. Two women going together, a man going together. And anything that you want to see is in that place. And if you're interested, they'll do the same thing to you.
Let's hear Bessie sing a little more about those buffet flats.
There's a lady in our neighborhood who runs a buffet flat. And when she gives a party, she knows just where she's at. She gives a dance last Friday night and works to last till one. But when the time was almost up, the fun had just begun. But she walks in to the room and yells to the crowd, "Have all the fun, ladies and gentlemen, but don't make it too loud. Oh, please, Mr. Leader Man, 'cause I've got them so fellin' blue early in the morn. So put that soft pedal on. I'm drunk and full of fun. Yahoo! Go ahead, spread the news. Cause I've got them soft pedaling blues early in the morning. Yahoo! I've got them soft pedaling blues."
Yahoo! Bessie Smith and those Soft Pedal Blues from 1925. Also from 1925 is Ethel Waters and her song, Dinah. No, that really wasn't one of her more bluesy songs, but lyrically I just couldn't resist picking that one. Ethel Waters was perhaps the first black superstar, famous for her work in nightclubs, Broadway, radio, and films, being only the second African-American nominated for an Academy Award in 1949. Her signature song was Am I Blue? Up next, if ever there was a blues artist who personified the image of the Bull Dyke, it was Gladys Bentley. She weighed around 250 pounds and performed in her trademark tuxedo and top hat and openly flirted with the women in the audience. There's not a lot of her catalog that's been reissued on CD, but here's a little of one of her songs called How Much Can I Stand.
Ain't foggies in the morning, foggies when the sun goes down. Ain't no woggies in the morning, woggies when the sun goes down. Hey, I'm full of food and water, calling all the geese in town. Weeping willow swaying, moaning in the weary pine. Weeping willow swaying, moaning in the weary pine. Three nickels from my quarter left me with a lonely
Gladys Bentley from 1928 with How Much Can I Stand. And as Gladys Bentley was a Bull Dyke, here's an artist singing about them. Lucille Bogan recorded between 1923 and 1935, and many of her songs were lyrically raw, like one called Shave 'Em Dry. I won't be playing that one. Many blues artists in those days, in order to get around recording contracts, would record under other names. Around 1932, Lucille Bogan began recording under the name Bessie Jackson, and under that name gave us the song B.D. Women Blues, with B.D. referring to Bull Dykes, or more colloquially, Bull Daggers.
I'm in a time, B.D. women ain't gonna need no me. I'm in a time, B.D. women ain't going to need no me. All the way they treat us is a low down and dirty thing. B.D. women, use your paint on the thing. B.D. women, your cane on the thing. They got a head like a switch engine, and they walk just like a natural man. BD women, they all done learned that plan. BD women, they all done learned that plan. They can lay their jive just like a natural man.
Yes, those BD women can walk and lay their jive just like a natural man. Bessie Jackson and BD Women Blues from 1935. Now, before you think I'm only playing women blues singers on this show, I'm going to introduce you to Frankie Half Pint Jackson. Called Half Pint because he was only 5'2" tall, Jackson often performed comedy songs and songs as a female impersonator. He took the role of a woman in the songs, providing lots of sexual double entendre, with songs like this one from 1929, Operation Blues, where he's playing a woman patient.
Doctor, is it in?
I'm right in. What's your trouble?
Oh, Doctor, I think I got tinnitus. I need operation right there. Oh, don't
get
right there.
I can see right now. You've got to take off all of your clothes.
You what? Now, don't get fresh, Doctor. I'm a married woman.
I can see right now, madam. You've got to take off all of your clothes.
Oh, I understand, Doc.
Oh, come on.
Oh, I see. You know what I mean.
Yes. Better than anyone knows.
Oh, yeah. Oh, what's that you got, that doctor? What's that you got folded in your hand?
You worry about that. Don't you worry about the doctor.
Yeah, but a woman knows, doctor. Please tell me, what's all of that you got there holding in your hand?
Quiet.
What is it?
That's nothing but my two money.
Huh?
Can't you understand?
Oh, I understand.
Quiet.
All right.
Now, be real quiet, madam.
And what must it be?
lay flat on your back.
Oh, this way, Doc. This
no,
way.
Just kind of raise that left leg a little.
Oh, nice. Right
there. I'll be right quiet, madam.
All right, ma'am.
Lay flat on your back.
I'm a doing now.
All right, Doc.
But if you hurt me, Doctor, I swear I'll never come in by.
I miss Doc.
Also from 1929, here's a bit of a not-so-subtle one called My Daddy Rocks Me with One Steady Roll. The lyrics from this point pretty much just repeat themselves, except that he takes two instrumental breaks complete with simulated sex sound effects that are actually very amusing. That was Frankie doing guest vocals on a track by famous blues artist Tampa Red. Before I leave the 20s and 30s, I've got another artist who dabbled in female impersonation, Billy Banks. His band, the Rhythm Makers, included some early jazz all-stars like Eddie Condon, Pee Wee Russell, and Fats Waller. From 1932, here's Billy and the Band with Oh Peter.
Oh Peter, you're so nice, it's paradise. When you're by my side, that's when I'm satisfied. Come on and kiss me, do, and hug me tight. There's nothing sweeter, Peter, Peter. Call around tonight, oh Peter, call around tonight. Oh Peter, you're so nice, it's paradise. When you're by my side, that's when I'm satisfied. Come on and kiss me, do, and hug me tight. There's nothing sweeter, Peter, Peter. Call around tonight, oh, call around tonight.
Another woman blues singer who was rumored to be lesbian was Alberta Hunter. Her career began in the 1920s, and she achieved much popularity until she retired in the mid-1950s. That retirement lasted for over 20 years until she started singing again in 1978, and again gained much acclaim, performing up until her death in 1984 at age 89. From 1940, here's a bit of her singing, I Won't Let You Down.
So you say you're gonna leave me, that you're absolutely through. If your mind is made up that way, there is nothing that I can do. Just remember these words. You want my love someday. I gave you my affection. You shared everything I had. I double-crossed my poor old mother. Even lied to my dear old dad. I was just your slave. I loved and worshipped.
Alberta Hunter from 1940, and we're in the 50s now, with an openly gay artist who was idolized by Little Richard, and who helped Little Richard get his first recording contract.
I'm not sure I know what love is. want it bad. I'm not sure I know what love is, but I think I've got it bad. Yes, it's all just a gamble, and that's enough to drive a good man mad.
Very nice. That was Billy Wright with the song You Satisfy, one of his first recordings and first successes, done for the famous Savoy record label in 1950. It was Wright who got Little Richard, then Richard Pettiman, to come to Atlanta, where he did his first recordings. And Wright, with his big hair, heavy stage makeup, and gospel-styled blues shouting, no doubt influenced Little Richard. We'll hear more about Little Richard in a little while. But first, this is a good time to invite you to check out my website. If you visit it while you're listening, you can see the playlist and follow along while looking at photos of the artists and recordings. I've always considered our music history as a visual as well as an audio experience. Again, that's at www.queermusicheritage.com. And for more very queer programming, please listen to After Hours with Jimmy Carper every Friday night, Saturday morning from 1 to 4 a.m. on KPFT. It's Queer Radio with Attitude.
Oh, I wake up in the morning, put on my wig, slip on my hose, and I do a little jig. I got them drag queen blues, mama, haunting me night and day. Oh yeah, I got them drag queen blues, mama. You better stay out of my way. Oh no, 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 no. Well, I
no, that isn't an old blues song. It's a recent one called Drag Queen Blues from drag queen superstar Hedda Lettuce, and it's the perfect intro for these next three artists. This first recording is quite obscure. I found it on a CD by 50s orchestra leader Tiny Bradshaw. He recorded for the King record label out of Cincinnati, and singing lead on a couple of his tracks was a female impersonator named Little Tiny Kennedy. From 1952 is Newspaper Boy Blues. Kennedy, backed by Tiny Bradshaw and his orchestra. And here's another interesting female impersonator, Billy McAllister. He is probably much more known for a comedy album released in 1972 called What a Big Piece of Meat. That was put out by producer Rudy Ray Moore, who found much success in the 70s by issuing very X-rated comedy recordings by himself and a stable of others. But I only recently discovered that Billy McAllister's career goes back 20 years earlier. In 1952, he recorded at least four songs for a Memphis label, and the song I picked is interesting because it obviously was recorded as a female impersonator, because it is sung to a man. Its title, 31E Blues, refers to his trip down Highway 31 to Nashville in search of his lover man.
Well, I'm gonna take 31E. went down to Nashville, Tennessee. Well, I'm gonna take 31 E, going down to Nashville, Tennessee. Well, I'm looking for my lover, man. Please, somebody tell me where he can be. Well, it's been a long, long time, baby, since you held me in your arms. Now you know I love you, baby. That's why you got me on the run.
Even more obscure than Billy McAllister was female impersonator Patsy Vaudelaar, and historians can't even seem to agree on her last name. I've also seen it given as Vaudalia, Vidalia, and Valadier. At any rate, for a couple of decades, she was the star of the famous Dewdrop Inn in New Orleans. In 1953, Mercury Records recorded several New Orleans artists, and Patsy traveled to Los Angeles to do two songs. One of them was right from her stage repertoire, Keep Your Hands on Your Heart, which was a hit in 1950 for Billy Wright, who we heard earlier. As legend has it, when she sang that song live, she instructed the men in the audience to put their hand over their crotch. Here's Patsy Vaudelaar and Keep Your Hands on Your Heart.
Might be. Yes, when we first met, it wasn't but us two. Now, trying to make it three. Sway, pretty baby, you can't do that to me.
We're going to take a break from those female impersonating blues singers to go to a rough and tough woman artist, Big Mama Thornton. Rumored to be lesbian, she's mostly known to the general public today as the artist who first recorded the song Hound Dog. She had an R&B hit with it in 1952, but of course Elvis had a huge hit with the song 4 years later. Here's the original.
You!
Big Mama Thornton and Hound Dog. Let's see if you can recognize this next artist.
Direct
can't quite recognize him? He first recorded in Atlanta in 1951 and then toured all over the Southeast, playing Nashville, New Orleans, and so forth, landing in Houston in 1953, where he recorded that last song, Directly From My Heart, for the Peacock label. That contract really didn't work out, so in 1955 he moved to the Specialty Records label. Still don't know who he is? Well, you probably are much more used to hearing him sounding like this.
Wah bam loom bam lam bam bam to the boot. Oh hoo.
Yes, that was Little Richard, and of course the song Tutti Frutti. There's an interesting story about that song. In 1955, Specialty Records producer Bumps Blackwell was sent to New Orleans to record Little Richard, and neither he nor the band knew quite what to make of him. As he came into the studio wearing a loud shirt, his hair waved 6 inches above his head and talking wildly, they took a break from the session and went over to the Dewdrop Inn, where Richard was no doubt more at ease, and he started joking around with the crowd, playing one of his favorites from his stage show. It had lyrics like Tutti Frutti, Good Booty, and If It Don't Fit, Don't Force It, You Can Grease It, Make It Easy. The impact on the crowd was the energy they needed to capture in the studio, though they wisely cleaned up the lyrics. Little Richard became a genuine pioneer of rock and roll. I recently contacted Little Richard, and he found time in his busy schedule to take a couple questions. Little Richard, you've gotten a lot of attention lately with that Geico TV commercial. What did you think when they first contacted you to do the commercial?
Whoa, look out, look out!
Your career has certainly had its ups and downs, and I imagine that applies financially as well. What has been your normal approach to finding work?
Help me! Somebody help me!
Finally, many rock artists have lived by the credo of sex, drugs, and rock and roll. What has been your personal credo?
Mashed potatoes, gravy, and cranberry sauce! Woo!
I'm not even going to ask. Okay, now that that little diversion is over with, I need to mention another artist who went by the name Escarita. He was a friend of Little Richard's and no doubt influenced him quite a bit, if only in his stage presence, as he wore heavy makeup and 2 wigs, piling his pompadour even higher than Richard's. Here's a clip of an interview where Little Richard talks about Escarita.
I was taught how to play piano by Escarita and a fellow by the name of James.
So the influence of Escarita on Little Richard, or vice versa, is really there. It's
definite. Yeah, the piano.
Tell me
it's,
about
it's
him,
strange.
Because a lot of people compare you
it's
to
strange,
him.
Roger. He was inspired by me to be in show business, but I was inspired by him because when I first met him, I met him at the bus station. One night I couldn't sleep in my hometown. I would sit there all night and watch people get off the bus, you know, you understand. And everybody's gonna, and he got off. I said, oh boy.
We have a picture here. Let's hold that up to the mic so our listeners can see it.
And you look at this picture and you say, that's happening now. The high top pompadour.
He really got his hair. The book made a mistake there. He really got his hairstyle from me. And Doc, you know, that was a mistake. He got his hairstyle from me.
That's right.
But he taught me how to play piano. He was playing One Mint Julep.
Right.
By the Clovers.
Right.
And it was boom, boom, boom. And I just love it. I said, oh boy, if I could just do that, not knowing that one day I'll be doing it, you know. So I picked it up and carried it out.
Now, the New Orleans influence on your music is obvious.
Oh,
it's
heavy.
Very, very heavy.
Very heavy.
Were you listening to that music when you were a kid?
Gumbo got me.
Here's Escarita with a bluesy song from 1958 called Just Another Lie.
Just another lie.
every day. I have those blues, the bad kind of blues. I just can't lose what you told me.
That was Escarita, who sadly died of AIDS in 1986 at age 47.
Ain't your fine gal, buddies and your pal, down in New Orleans, on the street they call a foul, down at the Dewdrop Inn. You meet all your fine friends, oh baby, Dewdrop Inn, baby, at the Dewdrop Inn. Hey, my, someone's watching Sloopy, escaping Lou, send them boats are working while they're going to Boogaloo. And the Dewdrop Inn, you meet all your fine friends. Oh, baby, Dewdrop Inn, baby, at the Dewdrop Inn. Hey, Nana, my, I said, let's go.
And I just couldn't resist one more quick listen to Escarita singing about the Dewdrop Inn. That venue's popped up several times on this show already, with more to come.
I've been down all my life, and in so much misery. Yes, I've been down all my life, and in so much misery. I've never had nobody in this mean world to pity poor me.
We're still in the 1950s, and it's time to tell you about Bobby Marchand, another artist who performed as a female impersonator. In fact, in 1953, he organized a troupe of female impersonators called the Powder Box Revue. And when they toured through New Orleans, he decided to stay, sometimes performing at the Dewdrop Inn. At that time, Patsy Vaudelia, who you heard earlier, was master of ceremonies at the Dewdrop, and there just wasn't room for two drag divas, so Bobby assumed the same duties at the Club Tijuana. It was there in 1956 that Johnny Vincent, the owner of Ace Records, saw him and signed him to a record contract. Vincent had no idea that Bobby Marchand was not a real woman, and he still didn't a couple days later when Bobby came to the studio, again in drag. The band was cracking up when Vincent was finally told. That didn't discourage Vincent from promoting Marchand, and his first record for Ace was the one you've been hearing, Poor Pitiful Me. However, it wasn't until he was teamed with Huey Piano Smith that lightning struck, and they had a top 10 hit in 1958 with the song Don't You Just Know It. That song was released as by Huey Piano Smith and the Clowns, and Bobby Marchand was lead vocalist. Marchand had a long career, recorded on quite a number of record labels, and performed until the year of his death in 1999, at age 69. By far my favorite of his songs was one that was a number one R&B hit in 1960, and I can't resist playing the full version on this show. Here is There Is Something on My Mind.
Something is worrying your troubled mind. There is something on your mind. By the way you look at me, on your mind, baby.
it's so hard to be in love with someone. It's so hard to be in love with someone that don't love you. And it carries a heavy burden on your heart to know that the someone they love is your very best friend. I tell you, when somebody else is rocking your cradle better than you can rock your cradle yourself, there's only one thing left in this world for you to do. Pack your clothes, turn around, walk slowly out the door, look over your left shoulder, hang your head and say, if you ever think about me, if I ever cross your mind, girl, girl, if you ever think about me, pretty baby, if I ever cross your mind, oh yeah, well, you know I'm yours, I know you're mine. After you can't stand it no more, you go downtown to the pawn shop and get yourself a pistol. And then you make it back up on the scene where your loved one and your best friend are now together. You go right in and bust down the door and shoot him. You can't shoot her because you know if you shoot her, all of your love and your long lifetime will be gone forever. And just as you make it up in your mind to forgive her, here come another one of your best friends through the door. This really makes you blow your top. And you go right ahead and don't hurt her to your heart and shoot her. And realizing what you've done, you say, baby, please, forgive me. I'm sorry. And with her last dying breath, she looks up at you and say, do, 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 do.
What a drama queen. And again, that was Bobby Marchand. And by now, you might be developing the impression that most of the early gay male blues singers were female impersonators. And I think that would be incorrect. Because, think about it, we only know about the ones who were visible. In those decades, sexuality, especially the homo variety, was not much openly discussed. So mostly, only if the singers were open about it, as in while doing female impersonation, would gayness even be considered. And of course, just because a performer did do female impersonation didn't mean they were gay. But gee, I think it mostly did. We're going to take this show's only trip out of the country for this next act, and it seems fitting we pay respect to it, as it was a pioneering band in the history of blues music in England. I'm talking about Blues Incorporated. Their 1962 debut album was called R&B from the Marquee, and according to one article I've read, it was a watershed moment in British music history, opening the floodgates to the British blues boom and influencing countless groups like the Stones, Animals, and Yardbirds to add their own touches to American blues. One of the main vocalists for Blues Incorporated was Long John Baldry. Baldry himself was very influential all through the 60s and 70s, helping to start the careers of Rod Stewart and Elton John. An album he and Stewart produced together, called It Ain't Easy, in 1971, yielded Baldry's most known American hit with Don't Try to Lay No Boogie Woogie on the King of Rock and Roll. And Long John Baldry was openly gay, even in the 60s. By the way, before you start guessing, he got his name Long John because he was 6'7" tall. You've been listening to a bit of Five Long Years from his 1965 solo album, Long John's Blues. But I want you to hear a bit of a track from the 1962 Blues Incorporated album, and the one I've chosen is How Long Blues. Long John Baldry singing lead on How Long Blues from the Blues Incorporated album R&B at the Marquee from 1962. I'm down to the last song, but before I get to it, I want to thank you all for listening. And you can hear this show anytime, along with seeing photos of the artist's recordings at www.queermusicheritage.com. And as always, if you have questions or comments about any of the music I've featured, please write me at qmheritage@aol.com. This is J.D. Doyle for Queer Voices on KPFT in Houston. This show has been about early blues by gay, lesbian, and bisexual artists from the 1920s up to 1970. And I'm going to end the show with a very bluesy artist who came upon the music scene in the mid-60s with a career that burned fast and hot, going out abruptly with her drug overdose in late 1970 at age 27. I'm talking about Janis Joplin. She had much album success with the San Francisco band Big Brother and the Holding Company, and as a solo artist in 1970, she was working on her next album. She died before it was finished, but enough of it was done to enable that album, called Pearl and released the next year, to become her biggest selling album, with her biggest single, Me and Bobby McGee. From that same album, I'm closing the show with her bluesy cover version of the 1963 hit by Garnett Mims. Janis Joplin and Cry Baby. Nobody ever gonna love you.